You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
All right, it is 9 minutes past four, and it's time for us to speak to that lady, Odette Butcher, and another of our discussions on digital transformation on air. And today, she's going to be talking about her take down the competition in 2022. Jeez, you come in aggressive. Happy New Year.
Exactly. I thought it would be a good topic to chat about, right? Being January and our first session back in the studio with our business hats on.
Did you have a good break?
It was fabulous.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay. You say that like, whoa, like I really don't want to be back at work.
Well, it was still... There was a lot of work involved, but it was just at a completely different pace. And it's always nice to put the shop into some sort of dormancy so that other projects can get done. So, no, it wasn't a holiday, but I was able to focus on other things.
But you have been out and about because I've seen.
Yes.
On steam trains and wine farms.
Of course. Eh? You have to do the steam train. It's so awesome it has started again.
Where does the steam train go to?
So it leaves from, I think it's called the Harbour, it's some sort of, it's around CTICC, Harbour Bridge Hotel, and it goes to the Elgin Market every Saturday and Sunday. And I heard, a little bird told me that they are going to start doing the steam train from Cape Town to Simonstown as well.
Are they?
Which is quite nice because the ticket prices are different, and that's one that you can take the children on. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I saw the train running there. In fact, I was showing a friend of mine around the area, and we were up at the top of Red Hill.
Yes.
And he said, oh, look, there goes a train. I said, well, I've never seen a train on that line. And yet, there we go. It was
I think it's
a train.
Been closed for 3 years.
Yeah, something
about
like
that.
And now it's working. Very cool indeed. All right. So how long is that train trip?
It was very long, and it was really hot. It was like 50 degrees in Elgin.
Okay, so it was...
We almost melted. It's 4 hours each way.
So you spend most of the day sitting on the train.
Yes, but it actually, I was sitting on the train thinking this gives a whole new meaning to watching the world go by.
Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, I was just staring at the scenery. It was quite nice.
Very nice. Okay.
Yes.
All right, so go check out the train out to Elgin Market.
Yes, it's called the Ceres Rail Company. You can find them on Facebook or on Instagram. Or just do a Google, and I think it's really nice to support them because they have not been operational in so long.
And those kind of companies need the support.
Exactly. And they're taking customers to Elgin Market as well, and they need it too.
Yeah, very cool indeed. I like the whole model. I really do. All right then. So taking down competitors in 2022. I mean, there we go. Let's find out what that's all about.
I thought that we might start the year guns blazing. Guns blazing.
Okay.
Thinking on the premise that most people have had, hopefully, a restful break, a little bit of time to recharge. Intuitively, I get the feeling that we could be over the worst with the Corona coaster. And I'm feeling a lot more positive. I'm not sure about you and what your sentiments are, but I just get this gut feel that the worst could be behind us.
I've been speaking to a lot of people since we came back in the new year. And there is in fact, it even started on New Year's Eve. When people were wishing each other a Happy New Year, there was almost like a, you know, normally New Year's Eve, Happy New Year, and it's like, you know.
Blah, blah.
Yeah, lip service. But this time around, it seemed to be that there is a real sense of optimism. I think people are starting to believe that we can get back to normal and that we can start going forward and that the worst is behind us and that this Omicron thing has done a great thing for the world because pretty much most people have had it and you've built up that natural immunity and this thing can be kind of reduced almost to something similar to the annual flu. In fact, numbers I've seen saying that death rates for this was going to be lower than TB, which is kind of where we were prior to the pandemic.
Yeah.
And with that, there's this whole sense of optimism of people looking forward to having been able to discard masks and eventually, you know, already they've thrown out some of the things that, you know, you don't have to do this tracking thing and all that kind of. So a lot of those rules and regulations are starting to fall by the wayside because they are unnecessary, according to the experts. And a lot of experts are saying that. So that optimism does exist, and let's hope we can put it into business. Yeah.
I think so too. So, with all of this in mind, I thought it might be nice to approach some ways that we can look at our competitors this year who might be feeling fatigued, and it could be a good opportunity to take them apart.
Okay. Well, there we go.
So these are five top tips that I have found, and I feel that they really resonate, and that we can all pretty much apply within our own businesses. And the first one is to find and then solve your customers' pain points. One likely way to beat your competition is to address the needs of your shared target audience better than your competition can. Ask open-ended questions to find exactly what your customers want while using your products or services. Certain questions that identify pain points may be especially effective to ask your customers. These questions include, what is your company's biggest obstacle to growth? What is your biggest personal obstacle? What matters the most to your supervisor? Which tasks occupy most of your time? What are your complaints? What might account for any recent business or customer losses? So it's all dependent on the business that you have. But again, it's like when we have discussed reviews in the past, is take all of your negative reviews and turn them into positives. Like, you want to know what customers are complaining about so that you can improve all of those pain points to the extent that you have little to no pain points, and you will push push ahead in front of your competitors who are maybe avoiding negative reviews and not doing anything about the pain points. So try to identify the user experience, the user journey, and look at it from all angles and see what you can improve to make the process between the consumer and your business, online or offline, seamless and without any headaches. The second one is quite interesting because it really spoke to me, it really resonated with me, is to find a niche in the market via storytelling and specialization. Let's face it, so many of our businesses are around already. Very few of us have anything truly unique to offer. It's quite a saturated market for most of our industries. So what can you do within your business, within your industry, to really stand out? And I'm just going to use myself as an example because it's easier to explain as an example. And that is how I made Celestial Gifts different to all the other gift experience companies popping up was I lived the business. I was the face of the business and I lived the brand. And I gave myself the most ridiculous job title because I don't care about job titles. And I referred to myself as the bucket list genie wherever I went. And you would see this woman, this brown-eyed woman, mom of two or whatever, doing all these crazy things that she would post pictures about, use the right hashtags, chat to the right people, generate the right content. But I was the face of the business. This was in the past. Now I have influencers and ambassadors who do it for me, and they are relatable to our new audience that we have. But I'm just using this as an example of how you can make your business shine amidst all the other competition, is be different. And I heard some story as well about this one guy who, I think he lost his son with some drowning accident or whatever, and then he developed this water safety device, and he started going around to all the different schools and parent groups and stuff like that, telling the story of what had happened and how he'd lost his son, what he had developed, and why they needed to buy it. So that's another example of like living through his business and setting himself ahead of any competitors that he may have had in that market. Another one is to set competitive pricing. But it's not always about being the cheapest. Mm. It depends on the different audiences that you are targeting. And I almost think let's avoid going cheap all the time and make sure that we are being paid what we are worth. But what added value
for money is what can you give
with the actual product and the service? Or maybe like a little something extra that they didn't think that they were going to get to add that to the end, transaction or the service that's taking place, obviously the after sale service, etc. So look at your pricing. You don't necessarily want to be undercutting everybody and selling everything for cheap, because then that opens another can of worms. But see what you could add to your transactions, to your packages, to make it enticing so that people will really want to pay the price that you're advertising, and your competition just can't beat it. And it also makes you unique if you're offering something awesome to go with the product as a gift or an upsell or an incentive, etc. You just have to get creative. Change your business to stay ahead of your competition. When you're running a business, change is constant. And that we've really felt in the last 2 years. And I myself had become very complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just easier to be in that space, especially if you've had an established business for a long time. Giants like Nokia and BlackBerry were wiped out from the smartphone market because of lack of innovation.
Mm.
Remember, your competitors are regularly innovating and new entrants are disrupting the marketplace. That's a real word at the moment, is to be a disruptor. Mm. Okay. Your business should innovate often and in a manner that the competition finds hard to imitate.
I've read a lot of business books. And one of the best is the one that we have right here in the studio called Entrepreneurship. But I read quite an in-depth study on, it's called Business for the Future, Owning the Future. Very good book that I read called Owning the Future. And the thing about business, what you're saying is you need to be innovative, but you need to be innovative with the view to owning the market in 3 years' time, 4 years' time, and 5 years' time. So your innovations that are taking place now don't necessarily have to be innovations that are implemented right away. They can be, and there will be short-term gains like that. But if you're constantly looking at your business of how is it going to be in 3 years' time, in 5 years' time, and making the starting to make those adaptations now, you eventually own the future. And I thought that was a really cool business model. And you've seen a lot of companies that, for instance, those people that have developed the smartphones that we use today, that innovation and technology was being developed while those other guys owned the market, Nokia and BlackBerry, but they were developing to own the future while those other companies were in a position where they weren't doing that. Had they done the same thing, they would have kept up.
Absolutely. And I mean, given that it is the new year as well, I had a nice meeting with my colleague, and I said, we really need to stick to having one session a week where we put our phones down, we close our laptops, we have a coffee, and we just brainstorm.
Yeah.
And the sky is the limit. Mm. And it's all about being practicing agility, having all of these creative ideas, implementing as many of them as you can so that you are not stuck and left behind. And I think that's a nice footing to start off on every new year and try to stick to it, because your customers can also get quite tiring and draining, and you just spend all day dealing with emails. We need to discipline ourselves as business owners and people who want to keep their jobs to actually say, hey, let's sit down and just put some cool ideas together that would be very difficult for the competition to copy.
Mm.
And also bearing in mind that we've had 2 years of hell.
Mm.
So there will be a lot of competitors who are fatigued.
Yeah.
So now, if we think of running a marathon or whatever, it's that plodder who's been plodding from the start line where everybody was racing past them. Mm. And I remember vividly a situation when I did the Great Wall of China, how all these guys had all of this gear. They were so loaded with expensive gear, and I was a little South African person with nothing running this race. And it was at the end when we had to redo this section of the wall that they were hitting the wall.
Mm.
They had all the gear,
mm.
but they couldn't finish.
Mm.
And then the plodder comes along. It's like the hare in the tortoise. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So did you win the race?
Absolutely not, but I finished. but I finished. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I finished.
Yes.
And
ahead of them.
And I didn't have that gear.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is we think that to be ahead of the competition, we need fancy equipment and tools and fancy teams. No, you just need to brainstorm and try to think about something simple that would set you apart from the rest. Like this year, a goal that I have is I really want to dig into video advertising. Like, I'm already behind on that completely, which will be nice for us to chat about. Video advertising, and oddly enough, I have discovered Pinterest in the last few weeks as well. And I read an interesting article about the affordability of advertising on Pinterest. And, you know, and it's all about shining amidst all the others and finding a space where you are going, where it's least saturated and carving out like a little space for yourself there. It's like hunting in a different fish pond. Do you know what I mean? Go somewhere different this year.
Okay.
And then the last one, which we've covered in all of our sessions, is to have exceptional customer service. Really, really good customer service will always set you apart from your competition. And I feel especially here in SA, because we have, we really need to work on that.
I think customer service is one of those things that sets a company apart. And customer service to me is not necessarily a debt when you have your initial transaction, your initial connection with a company.
After sales.
It's after sales. It's when, I've always said, the measure of a company is how good are they when the pawpaw hits the fan.
Yes.
And just recently we had an experience, Judy and myself, where she ordered some stuff. From, and I'll mention their name because I think that they're doing a great job. Takealot.
Mm-hmm.
Ordered some stuff from Takealot. Stuff arrived, turned out to be the wrong thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she contacted them, return it to us, we'll put the money back in your account, and no hassles. And I thought, okay, well, we'll see. You can return it. They, you know, she returned the stuff. They would have come to collect it too. She returned the stuff, and I thought to myself, well, we now see how long it's going to take for the money to come into account, and prepare yourself for a fight. Nope. They over, what is that word?
Overpromised.
Underpromised and overdelivered.
Oh, wow.
So they basically said, you're going to, we'll refund your money in 7 days. And I think it was within two or three days.
That's fabulous.
And that, to me, is good customer service. When you're able to back up the initial transaction one way or the other and come back and really be a champion for your customer.
Yes.
When there is something that's gone wrong.
Yes, and it's about being a finisher and a completer. How many of us, you know, something gets done to a point and then it just never gets finished. Or the transaction happens and then it's not quite what you wanted or whatever. And then what do you do with the refund process? Or if people are not happy about something. So yes, I think that you can really create huge gains on customer service. And it doesn't matter your price. People will still come back to you. They will pay that price because they know
that if something goes wrong, that they're going to have my back.
Yes.
And I think that is when, you know, when you're speaking of price points and differentiation, that certainly is customer service. I reckon that's where you start. You start to look at what you want to do going forward and how can I back that up with good customer service. And I think that's a formula for success in any business.
And let's stop, you know, looking for discounts and cheap things. Let's pay, you know, a good price
people
for something.
What they're worth,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then also get a good customer service to go with it, because those professionals need to get paid.
Yes, they do. I'll give you another example, if I may. The service provider we use here for Zone Radio, we've been using the company NetDynamics for years. If I speak to NetDynamics or they speak to me 3 or 4 times a year, that's a lot. It's not one of those working relationships where they're constantly in your face. But let me tell you something. If something goes wrong,
They are there.
Like you cannot, and they're there with a solution, and it's quick. There's no such thing as, oh, we'll look at it in a day or two, or whatever the case may be. It, inevitably, they solve the problem within 30 minutes of you actually contacting them and saying, listen, we got a problem. Can you sort it out? Within 30 minutes, in 90% of the cases, And that is why we will stick with them. We've had offers for streaming service and all the kind of technology we use here from other companies who are far cheaper.
Yes.
And by a long way.
Yeah, don't go cheap.
But I don't know what their track record is. And what's that old saying? Rather the devil you know than... We'll stay with them. And we'll stay with them and be loyal to them simply because that's important to us.
Yes.
And understanding what is important to your customer, delivering on that, I think that is... That'll work. That's a formula to win.
I know. And one thing I've also found that is creeping in, and I've heard this from a lot of people in business, there is this apathy within business, understandably, because of the 2 years of Corona Coaster that we've all been through. And it's become an excuse for giving poor service. It's just become an excuse for everything.
Yeah.
And there's another way to set yourself apart from your competitors would be no more excuses.
Mm.
Like, get back at your desk, start working, provide a good service, a good product. Let's get back to work now.
Mm.
Whereas all the other companies are still like, you know, bumming around, blaming COVID for everything. It's like, let's move forward now. Enough.
Yeah, I agree with you. There has been that as an excuse for a lot of businesses. There has been that COVID has done this and COVID has done that. And with reason, good reason.
Yes.
Good reason. It's not like, I mean, a lot of businesses have really gone to the wall because of this. I think that using it as an excuse now no longer is valid. And moving forward, it's important. So, I do agree with you. I really do.
Absolutely.
I think we're in for good opportunities going forward. And I think, too, that a lot of the spaces in the market have opened up because smaller competitors have not been able to survive, sadly. So there's a bigger pool of customers possibly for a particular product or service because smaller businesses or something like that, sadly, have gone out of the market.
Yes.
And now's the time to capitalize on that.
Yes, and focus on niche. Don't try and take on the big boys like Takealot and Amazon and all of them. Focus on niche. Keep it simple. Keep it really simple.
Years of you, I'd like your comment on. I've always maintained, rightly or wrongly, there's nothing I can do, talking about competitors, there's nothing I can do to control what my competitors do. I can only control what I can do.
Absolutely.
And whether my competitors are doing X, Y, and Z, unless they're opening up some kind of opportunity that I can capitalize on because of whatever, I'm not going to get myself down in the doldrums because my competitor's doing this, my competitor's doing that. I have to control what I can control and take that forward.
You know, Richard, I believe that there, like when we talk about the laws of abundance, I believe that there is enough business out there for all of us. There really is. Like, there is enough. Mm. And I find so much inspiration when I look at nature. Nature, if left alone by human beings, replenishes itself all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like pods of dolphins and schools of fish and flocks of birds. I mean, there's hundreds and thousands of them. And it's the same thing with customers.
Mm.
There is enough for all of us. And I heard a great thing as well about competition in that we shouldn't be obsessing about them too much. We almost need to have like a little black book with our top 3 to 5 competitors in there. And, you know, you'll look at them and scan through what you're doing occasionally, but don't spend too much time looking behind you.
Mm.
Look forward and keep going forward. Don't worry too much. Don't spend too much time obsessing about them, you know?
Yeah, I think if you do that and, you keep doing these competitor analysis and trying to react, then
is the right word to use there.
Then you're actually preventing yourself from being proactive, which is what they've done and you haven't. So you've got to get ahead of that.
Absolutely.
In your own proactivity.
And I think it's about finding, I believe that money follows passion. So it's about reigniting some passion in your business. Because when you have that passion, money just follows. And just to really be you, just bring some uniqueness into your business and the customers will follow and flourish.
Yeah, I think it's good advice. I really do. All right. So that's how we deal with competitors in 2022.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to add?
I could talk for hours.
I know that you can talk for hours.
but it's really humid in here, isn't it? I need to go get some fresh air.
Oh, well, you see, our competitors have got air conditioners.
Exactly. There's no air con in here.
Odette, as always, thank you for coming
Richard, this afternoon.
We do appreciate your time and your expertise. And we look forward to 2 weeks' time. I'm sure you're going to come up with something equally revolutionary.
Of course.
Yes, you are. Yes,
it's a never-ending subject.
It's a never-ending subject indeed. That's Odette Buscher. And if you want to find out more about her, you can certainly follow her online. If you go along to her website, which is?
It's ecommercevirtualservices.com. And maybe it's just easier to give my cell phone number for WhatsApp, which is 0848-119163.
Yeah, and you also have this link pile. What is it?
Linktree.
Linktree. You also have that Linktree, which has also got all of that. So just Google Odette Buscher, and you will certainly find out more about what she's got to offer and the services she can give your business when it comes to trading online.
Yes.
Things like Google My Business, she can come and sort that out for you. If you want to put a shop on Facebook and not too sure how to do that, you can speak to Odette. And the money that you can invest in that is going to be money well spent. So give her a call on that number. I'll give it to you again, 0848-111-9163. So that's 0848-111-9163. That's Odette Buscher. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. See you soon.
See you in 2 weeks' time.
Take care.